Thank you. I have no commercial interests and no off-label usage. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, shallow men believe in luck or in circumstance. Strong men believe in cause and effect. The Fusarium keratitis epidemic of 2004 to 2006 was a worldwide epidemic involving Hong Kong, Singapore, the United States, and the Caribbean. It was traced to a new contact lens solution, Renew Moisture Lock, produced and bottled in only one of four Bausch & Lomb Renew Moisture Lock manufacturing sites, and that was in Greenville, South Carolina. The product contained a novel antimicrobiological agent, alexithine dihydrochloride. BNL was cited by the FDA for inadequacies in temperature control. Warehouse truck temperatures could have been as high as 167 degrees Fahrenheit. The CDC found no fungal contamination at the factory and multi-locus genotyping. They also noted a failure of Renew Moisture Lock at point of use exposure due to unique properties of the Renew Moisture Lock formula and biofilm formation. On May 15, 2006, the product was permanently withdrawn from the world market. We previously reported that boiling the solution for 10 minutes in a glass tube did not diminish its fungistatic properties. However, heating it in its Bausch & Lomb high-density polyethylene plastic, but not glass, container to between 42 and 56 degrees centigrade or 108 to 133 degrees Fahrenheit for less than or equal to 1 week resulted in decreased anti-fusarium activity. We proposed the following, that there was an interaction between alexithine and the unique plastic bottles used only in Greenville, South Carolina, causing alexithine to migrate from the solution into the heated bottle wall, thereby diminishing its concentration, rendering it less capable of disinfecting fusarium and other microorganisms at point of use exposure and leading to the epidemic. Now, Austin Bradford Hill was a British medical statistician and epidemiologist, and he described 9 criteria to infer causality. And these include temporality, specificity, biological gradient, strength of association, plausibility, consistency, experiment, analogy, and coherence. His order was slightly different from this, but I put them in this order as to tell the story of what happened. Temporality. It is logically necessary for a cause to precede an effect in time. This is the only absolutely essential Hill criterion, the sine qua non. And so the product was released in August of 2004, and this shows the epidemic curve from the outbreak in Singapore, showing that the outbreak started in March of 2005. So the product was introduced before the epidemic. Specificity, showing that an outcome is best predicted by only one set of primary factors, adds credibility to a causal claim. And so the factors that we identified were heat, time, a specific bottle, and the antimicrobial agent. I won't go through these details now because they appear in subsequent slides. The next is biological gradient. The outcome increases monotonically with an increasing dose of exposure. And so here we see the duration of incubation of the bottles, the temperature and the type of container, and the p-value. So that when we compared room temperature storage in plastic to storage at 42 degrees centigrade in plastic, there was no statistical difference. However, comparing either 42 or room temperature to 56 degree plastic storage, there was a highly significant p-value. Strength of association. The stronger the relationship between the independent variable and the dependent variable, the less likely that the relationship is due to an extraneous variable. And so here we see, when we looked at heat, the strength of association, when we compared room temperature storage in plastic versus 56 storage in plastic, the p-value is 6 times 10 minus 10. When we compared the plastic bottle, we compared basically the Bausch & Lomb plastic bottle to 8 other bottles, the p-value was 3.7 times 10 to the minus 12. And when we compared 56 degree storage in glass to 56 degree storage in plastic, again, a highly significant p-value. When we looked at the antimicrobial agents, when we looked at alexidine, there was a highly significant p-value. However, with two other antimicrobial agents found in other contact lens solutions, there was no difference. Also, when we looked at time, at zero time and heat, of course, there was no difference, and yet at 1 week and 4 weeks, a highly significant association. Plausibility. It is easier to accept an association as causal when there is a rational and theoretical basis for such a conclusion. So we identified two possibilities. One is that a chemical leaches from the Renew plastic bottle, a so-called leachate, which inactivates the antimicrobial agent alexidine. Or the converse is that the alexidine migrates and deposits into the wall of the Renew plastic bottle, thereby diminishing its concentration within the contact lens solution. And so we then did microbiological studies where no leachate was identified. We also did sophisticated chemical studies involving gas chromatography, mass spectroscopy, Raman and surface-enhanced Raman spectroscopy, and Fourier transform infrared spectroscopy, and again, no leachate was identified. However, when we performed liquid chromatography mass spectroscopy on temperature, at room temperature in 56 degrees, when we look at the initial concentration, we made up a solution that was 4.5 parts per million. After 4 weeks storage, just at room temperature, the concentration fell to 2.58 parts per million. So this is a 43% decrease just sitting in the bottle at room temperature. When we started with a solution of 4.5 parts per million at 56 degrees centigrade, after 4 weeks storage at 56, the concentration fell at 0.93 parts per million, or a 79% decrease. And so that ratio of 2.58 to 0.93 was almost a threefold decrease in concentration with heat. We then took the bottles, the room temperature bottle and the heated bottle, and we then cut out a portion of the plastic bottle, and we then put it in methanol to leach the alexidine back out of the plastic. And we then found between 3 and 3.6 times as much alexidine depositing into the walls of the heated versus the unheated plastic bottle. Consistency. Multiple observations of an association under different circumstances and at different times increase the credibility of a finding. And so we've published now three papers, and one is in preparation. So we did this over time from 2008 to the present time, and in each of these studies we compared room temperature storage to heated storage in plastic, there was a highly significant p-value. We also, consistency-wise, we noted that there were 3 to 3.6 times more alexidine in the methanol extracted walls of the heated versus the unheated bottles. And then in a separate study, we used the original moisture lock solution, and we found a similar thing. Experiment. Any related research that is based on experiment will make a causal inference more plausible. Okay, so we then tried to determine the threshold amount of alexidine for failure. And we then diluted, microbiologically, diluted the alexidine in both the heated and the unheated samples. We were able to note that the critical concentration for inhibition of fusarium growth was somewhere between 0.46 and 0.64 parts per million. Analogy. When one class of causal agents is known to have produced an effect, the standards for evidence that another agent of that class produces a similar effect can be reduced. And so with our microbiological study, we showed that alexidine failure was not unique to fusarium organisms, but was also seen with 12 bacteria and 12 non-fusarium fungi known to cause keratitis, which makes sense, because if you have antimicrobial failure, then you're going to have failure with respect to other bacteria and other non-fusarium fungi. So there's nothing specific about the fusarium. We then did epidemiological studies where we analyzed data that was published up in the Wills Eye Hospital recently in Cornea, and we looked at their data of the expected number of cases and the observed number of cases during the fusarium keratitis outbreak. And we showed that the bacterial infections were highly significantly increased during the same time period at the Wills Eye Hospital. We then analyzed a paper from ophthalmology of a multi-center study comparing fusarium and non-fusarium fungi and found the same thing. Also, from an analogy point of view, published back in 1983, it was noted that insulin and nitroglycerin and vitamin A acetate demonstrate temperature-dependent adsorption to plastic containers with losses up to about 80%. Also in the Journal of Pharmacology in 1977, it was reported that chlorhexidine, a close relative of alexidine, strongly adsorbs to polyethylene. Coherence. A cause and effect interpretation for an association is clearest when it does not conflict with what is known about the variables under study and when there are no plausible competing theories or rival hypotheses, i.e. the association must be coherent with other knowledge. And so here we looked at the competing theories and rival hypotheses. And it was thought by Bausch and Lomb that there was something unique about the fusarium, but I've shown you that this is not true. They thought that there was some, the CDC and BNL thought there was something unique about the polymer package. And again, the Renew Moisture Lock failed in the same way as just a pure solution of alexidine. So there's no, the polymer package was not required. Knockoff products were initially implicated by Bausch and Lomb and later retracted. It was thought that by Bausch and Lomb there was an increased virulence of environmental fusarium enhanced by the 2004 Asian tsunami and Hurricane Katrina, but there was of course no evidence to support this assertion. Also, poor patient compliance was asserted by Bausch and Lomb, and of course this was later refuted by the CDC. Also, there were other theories, such as alexidine uptake by contact lenses, reduced antimicrobial activity of evaporated moisture lock, fusarium growth supported by biofilms, the nutritive properties of cellulose ingredient, a direct penetration of fusarium into soft contact lenses, selection of fusarium due to persistence, chemical trauma due to biocide release, and blocking of host inflammatory response by the contact lens. If any of these theories were right, any or all of these were right, then you would trace cases to all four of the factories, because this product was made in Greenville, South Carolina, Italy, India, and China. And all the cases, according to Bausch and Lomb, were traced to Greenville, South Carolina. We later learned the bottles used in Greenville, South Carolina were produced by a different manufacturer than those used in Italy, India, and China, suggesting that a different additive, resin, or manufacturing process accounted for this heat-enhanced alexidine interaction. Now, Kenneth Rothman proposes a sufficient component cause model, and he defines a comprehensive causal mechanism as a set of factors, which we've identified as heat, time, the Bausch & Lomb high-density polyethylene bottle, and alexidine. So he defines these as a set of factors that are jointly sufficient to induce a binary outcome event and that are minimally sufficient. That is, under the omission of just one factor, the outcome would change. And so we've now shown that each of these follows that criteria, because alexidine is necessary, the high-density polyethylene Bausch & Lomb bottle is necessary, a certain amount of time is necessary, and a certain amount of heat is necessary, even though even room temperature, the level does drop. So in summary, application of Hill's and Rothman's criteria for causation to the worldwide fusarium keratitis epidemic of 2004 to 2006 strongly suggests that our theory is the most likely explanation for this pharmaceutical catastrophe. Thank you. Yes.
So, John, that's very robust. So, has anything been adopted by the industry, you know, to make sure nothing will happen in the future?
A good question. Bausch and Lomb got rid of these bottles. They now air condition the factory. Abbott makes a solution of contact lens solution with alexidine in it, but they have a second antimicrobial agent and they use a different bottle. So whether or not they're aware of all these factors or whether they just experimented to come up with a safe solution, I'm not sure. I'm sorry?
They should ask you to test for
Any others?